key.
Jai.
Sri Giri Govardhan ki.
Jai.
Sankirtan Yajna ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's that. It's this. Know what to really do about it. Unless we just move it around. Jai, oh Krishna.
No?
We're losing contact. Jai, Jai, Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda.
Jai, Jai, Sri Chaitanya.
Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So this morning we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 14, titled Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes. And we're beginning with verse 148. Where's this coming from? Huh? Is it okay? Does it have to? All right, so yes, Madhya Leela 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes, and we begin with verse 148, and this is all, this is now Swarup Damodar Goswami responding to the question of Lord Chaitanya about different very profound aspects of the Vrindavan pastimes. Because, well, they're there. What is happening just in the sort of vicinity, what's going on around there is that the Hira Panchami festival is happening in the middle of the Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, which goes on for like 8 to 10 days. First of all, there's the pulling of the chariot, the main festival, from the temple, the big temple, Jagannath Temple, down to Gundicha, and then the deities remain in Gundicha for a week or even 8 days. And in the middle of that time, the goddess of fortune, who did not come, she is the wife of Jagannath. She did not come on the Rath Yatra, of course. She stayed back at the temple in her quarters. and The Lord, who had promised to return even the same day, or at least the next day, has not returned. And indeed, for maybe 4 days or 5 days, because it happens on the Panchami, so it must be after on the fifth day, then the goddess of fortune with her associates go down to Gundicha and confront Jagannath. What are you doing? Why have you not come back? What, you know, you promised to come back. This is not right. So in the course of all of that sort of confrontation and so on like that, then the goddess of fortune and her followers physically attack Jagannath and his associates and assistants. And it's a whole scene. It's a whole scene. And while observing that, Lord Chaitanya was very struck by the different moods of different of the devotees who were involved in these very, very strong exchanges. And particularly he became fascinated by the attitude of the goddess of fortune, who has been neglected by her husband, as we mentioned. He didn't return when he said he would. So, seeing this, and that in her transcendental pride, she and her soldiers actually physically attack her husband. It's all loving exchange, actually. Although in material life, these things do happen, we hear sometimes, and it's not loving exchange, I don't know. But anyway, so observing that and being very deeply struck by that, Lord Chaitanya started questioning Swarup Damodar Goswami about such things in the pastimes of the Lord. Particularly the exchanges between the Lord and the gopis in Vrindavan. So we read some day, a week ago, Lord Chaitanya said, "Please tell me of the varieties of egotistic pride manifested in Vrindavan." To which Swarup Damodar Goswami replied, "The pride of the gopis is like a river flowing with hundreds of tributaries." Tributaries means small rivers like streams and other small things, which they come down and they join up. They flow into the river, the main river. So the pride of the gopis is like a river, big river, flowing with hundreds of these sub-rivers, or in the case of the pride of the gopis, transcendental pride, hundreds, actually an uncountable number of other attitudes, which sort of spice the pride in different ways. The pride is like the main thing, but when these other attitudes mix with the pride, then the pride becomes enhanced, you could say, yeah. Sort of just like a subji, I mean, not just like, but something like a subji. You have the vegetables. That's the main body of the preparation. But then according to how the vegetables are spiced, then the preparation becomes enhanced in different ways. And sometimes even the most bland things can become enhanced in extreme ways with different spicing. Yeah. And similarly, a river, depending on what flows into it, the different tributaries and secondary rivers and streams and just little different things which flow in, they enhance the river in different ways, make it more turbulent, introduce some different sort of things like branches and leaves and whatnot. Yes, yeah, so we read that was verse 141. Now we're going to start with verse 148. So here we go. It might be a good idea. Well, anyway, we're sort of in the middle of the discussion. And here Swarup Damodar Goswami is talking about particularly Srimati Radharani, but it can be applied to different of the gopis. So they are like heroines in the story here, and all sorts of wonderful things are going on with them involved as the heroines. So, Dira Dira Vakravakye Kare Upahasa Kabu Stuti Kabu Ninda Kabu Va Udasa. Wow, that's amazing. The heroine who is a combination of sobriety and restlessness. Hare Krishna. These different moods mixing with the basic mood. So she always jokes with equivocal words. Is she joking or not? These types of subtleties. She sometimes praises her lover, sometimes blasphemes him, and sometimes remains indifferent. I just noticed in the Bengali, kabustuti means offering praise or prayers even. Glorifications. Kabu ninda. Sometimes offense. Oh, Krishna. It's very deep. In fact, actually, we're out of our depth here, really. But it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, so. Let us read and see where it takes us. Mugdamadya pragalbatina naikara beda mugdanahi jane manir vaidagya vibeda. We're just carrying on. This is now verse 149. Heroines may also be classified as captivated, intermediate, and impudent. The captivated heroine does not know very much about the cunning intricacies of jealous anger. Hare Krishna. Because she's just captivated. She's very submissive and will do anything which the beloved wants. Although the beloved may sometimes, because he is aware of the cunning intricacies of jealous anger, he may do something which otherwise, if that gopi was not captivated and just overwhelmed by the association of her beloved, which she would react against. she would become angry and kabuninda, maybe criticize him, something like that. Mukha achadiya kare kevala rodana kantira priyavakya shuni haya parasana. The captivated heroine simply covers her face and goes on crying. When she hears sweet words from her lover, she's very satisfied. So in the pastimes, particularly between Srimati Radharani and Krishna, or we could say between the gopis and Krishna, there are all these different emotions and different interactions based on the different emotions. And many of the interactions and the emotions, if one is not sort of au fait with such things to some degree or sufficiently whatever, then one may think, what is going on here? Why are they treating Krishna like this? Why is Krishna treating his devotees like this? Because as we read, kabuninda, sometimes some apparently aggressive behavior happens, which one would not expect generally from the material point of view, when people are in love with each other, and they sincerely have very deep feelings for each other as much as is possible on the material platform, then they don't sort of scornfully criticize each other. But they're rather more, as stated here, very submissive, and the captivated heroine. If she's criticized, then she just cries. She doesn't respond like, why are you criticizing me? And no, what are you doing? Get on the case of Krishna. But when Krishna, because these things, there's flux, there's change going on practically all the time, or at least regularly from time to time. And then when Krishna switches into a more submissive mood himself and starts dealing with her in very soft and gentle ways, then she forgets about all the criticism, all the that sort of treatment, and she just becomes very satisfied in her submissive mood. Madhya Pragalba Dare Dir Adi Vibeda Tara Madhya Sabara Swabhave Tina Beda. Both the intermediate and impudent heroines can be classified as sober, restless, and both sober and restless. All their characteristics can be further classified in three divisions. So let us just read on the translations. We're now at verse 152. Some of these heroines are very talkative, some are mild, and some are equipoised. Each heroine, according to her own character, increases Sri Krishna's loving ecstasy. Although some of the gopis are talkative, some mild, and some equipoised, all of them are transcendental and faultless. They please Krishna by their unique characteristics. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness upon hearing these descriptions, and he again and again requested Swarup Damodar to continue speaking. Damodar Goswami said, Krishna is the master of all transcendental mellows and the taster of all transcendental mellows, and his body is composed of transcendental bliss. Krishna is full of ecstatic love and always subordinate to the love of his devotees. The gopis are very much experienced in pure love and in the dealings of transcendental mellows. So the thing is, in principle, that these types of loving exchanges, in which there are many different moods, including some apparently somewhat aggressive, heavy, critical moods manifest, these are all going on the transcendental platform. And in order to really appreciate them properly, then one has to oneself also at least be somewhat or reasonably on the transcendental platform. Otherwise, one will definitely become confused. Sooner or later, one will definitely become confused. When the loving exchanges are more resembling what people on the material platform are used to understanding and experiencing as loving exchanges, that's one thing. But when there's these other emotions, some of them quite dramatic and apparently negative, then unless one is experienced enough, knowledgeable enough, and just enough conversant and on that platform enough, then it will be very difficult to understand, or not possible. Just like we've mentioned that Srila Prabhupada, Shishi Radharadnath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, we've mentioned before how Srila Prabhupada was in some sort of gathering with some Western scholars of Indian culture and religion, Indologists. So one of them was, he's on the material level, but somehow or other he's interested enough to get involved in studying the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And on the surface, at least, knowing some things about them. And these same transcendental conjugal loving exchanges. So this man, on the sort of material platform, basically, but still with a kind of positive attitude towards Krishna consciousness and Srila Prabhupada personally, the man said to Prabhupada these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they're not for brahmacharis, are they? Because there's embracing and kissing and different, so many things. And Srila Prabhupada replied that actually they're only for brahmacharis. In other words, one has to, not just our sort of so-called ordinary brahmachari, but really a transcendental, because brahmachari means Brahma Achari. His activities means his whole being is on the Brahman platform. Yes. So only people who are on that transcendental platform and to such a degree that their life is transcendental enough, Prabhupada saying, they're the only people who should read these things, because otherwise the danger of confusion is just too great. Yes, so let's continue on. Verse 157. There is no flaw or adulteration in the love of the gopis. Therefore they give Krishna the highest pleasure. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Rasa basa occurs when one's relationship with Krishna is adulterated. There are different types of rasa basa: first class, second class, and third class. The word rasa means mellow, and abas means a shadow. If one tastes one kind of mellow and something extra is imposed, that is uparasa. If something is derived from the original mellow, it is called anurasa. If something is appreciated that is far removed from the original mellow, it is called aparasa. Uparasa, anurasa, and aparasa are, respectively, first, second, and third class rasabasas. As stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4, 9, 1, and 2, I won't read it because it's just Sanskrit with no translation. So let's go on to verse 158, which is actually a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Sri Krishna, who's the absolute truth, enjoyed his rasa dance every night during the autumn season. He performed this dance in the moonlight and with full transcendental mellows. He used poetic words and surrounded himself with women who were very much attracted to him. So here's the purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-25, which is the part of the 10th canto in which the rasa dance is described. The gopis are all transcendental spirit souls. One should never think that the gopis and Krishna have material bodies. Vrindavan Dham is also a spiritual abode, and there the days and nights, the trees, flowers and water, and everything else are spiritual. There is not even a trace of material contamination. Krishna, who is the Supreme Brahman and Supersoul, is not at all interested in anything material. His activities with the gopis are all spiritual and take place within the spiritual world. They have nothing to do with the material world. Lord Krishna's lusty desires and all his dealings with the gopis are on the spiritual platform. One has to be transcendentally realized before even considering relishing the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. One who is on the mundane platform must first purify himself by following the regulative principles. Only then can he try to understand Krishna and the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami are here talking about the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. Therefore, the subject matter is neither mundane nor erotic. Being a sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict in his dealings with women. Unless the gopis were on the spiritual platform, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have never even mentioned them to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Therefore, these descriptions do not at all pertain to material activity. Yes, well, that's the point. It's such an important point. And just one thing we'll mention is that right in the middle of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna's lusty desires and all his dealings with the gopis are on the spiritual platform. So in other words, lusty, that famous word, such a central part of material existence, so it doesn't mean, as it's being applied here, it doesn't mean lusty in that sense, as everyone in material life and everyone who has been in material life is so familiar, just some attraction for one's own sense gratification like that, sense gratification of the material body. Actually, we discussed this in Nectar of Devotion. Those of you who are following it should remember it was in the later part of the Nectar of Devotion. So, yes, it is called, if a devotee is trying to learn it, it's called Kam Anuga. And if someone actually is like the gopis themselves, if one has that mood of trying to please Krishna in ways which superficially appear lusty, it's called Kamatmik. Kamatmik. That within the Atma, within oneself, there is this kam, which according to normal translation means lust, but in this context means the most profound love for Krishna in the sense of only wanting to please him in conjugal type exchanges. And Lord Chaitanya, as Prabhupada mentions here, Lord Chaitanya, he actually said that the best example of Krishna consciousness is the example of the gopis. And Lord Chaitanya, otherwise, there are some stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a couple at least where Lord Chaitanya is so rigid, actually rigid is the appropriate word, so rigid in his adherence to standards of avoidance of anything to do, either directly, indirectly, possibly, or practically, you know, even difficult to imagine, but still there's some relationship with illicit sex life. He avoided that so rigidly, as is said sometimes. He avoided it like the plague. Just absolutely avoided, taking not even a shadow, a faint reflection of a chance. Yeah. Even literally running from such situations. And in the famous case of Chota Haridas, Junior Haridas, because that devotee somehow, it was very subtle, but it was to do with mundane male-female relationships, at least some connection was there. He rejected him completely. Not just for a little while, for a day or a week, some disciplinary action, sort yourself out and then come back. That was it. Rejected for life. Totally rejected for life. Lord Chaitanya was so strict, but here he is, relishing kabuninda when there is apparent blasphemy between the Lord and the gopis or some gopis or a gopi. This is transcendental. Only problem is we may not be so much. So we continue. Verse 159. The gopis can be divided into a left wing and a right wing. Both wings induce Krishna to taste transcendental mellows by various manifestations of ecstatic love. So there are these two types of general attitudes. Left wing and right wing. One is more submissive, and one, the other, is more, well, unsubmissive, shall we just say. Yeah. So let's find out more about this. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the chief. She is a jewel mine of ecstatic love and the source of all purified, transcendental, conjugal mellows. She is the source of them. Radharani is grown up, and and her character is equipoised. She is always deeply absorbed in ecstatic love and always feeling in the mood of a left-wing gopi. And here is a purport to explain a bit about these left and right wings. The left wing and the right wing of the gopis have been explained by Rupa Goswami in his Ujjvala Nilamani Sakhi Prakarana 26 and 32. The left wing is described in this way. Managrahe sadod yukta tach chaitilye chakopana abeja nayake praya kruravameti kirtyate. A gopi who is always eager to be jealously angered. Hare Krishna. Let me read that again. A gopi who is always eager to be jealously angered, who is very enthusiastic for that position, who immediately becomes angry when defeated, who is never under the control of a hero, and who always opposes him, is called a Vama, or a left-wing gopi. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the right-wing gopis in this way. Right-wing, this is the other variety. Asaya mana nirbande, nayake yukta vadini, samabhistena bedyacha, dakshina parikirtita. Dakshin, okay, southern. Anyway, a gopi who cannot tolerate womanly anger, who speaks suitable words to the hero, and who is satisfied by his sweet words, is called a dakshina or a right-wing gopi. She doesn't like it when women get angry, and she'll never get angry with her hero. She'll never get angry. And she always speaks very nicely to her hero. And when he speaks nicely to her, she's very satisfied. She is a right-wing gopi who's quite different from a left-wing gopi who's always eager to be jealously angered, enthusiastic for that, out of love, out of the desire to please, understanding how it pleases Krishna. Let's say. Now this is continuing to speak about Radharani, because she is a left-wing gopi. Her womanly anger is always awakening. But Krishna derives transcendental bliss from her activities. This is now a verse from Ujjvala Nilamani. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl is by nature crooked, like the movement of a snake. Because of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl. Anger with a cause and anger without a cause. Sure. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these talks, his ocean of transcendental bliss increased. He therefore told Swarup Damodar, "Go on speaking, go on speaking." And thus Swarup Damodar continued. Srimati Radharani's love is a highly advanced ecstasy. All her dealings are completely pure and devoid of material tinge. Indeed, her dealings are 10 times purer than gold. As soon as Radharani gets a chance to see Krishna, her body is suddenly decorated with various ecstatic ornaments. The transcendental ornaments of Srimati Radharani's body include the 8 sattvikas, or transcendental symptoms, the 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, beginning with Harsha, or jubilation and natural love, and the 20 Bhavas, or ecstatic emotional ornaments. And here is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, bodily symptoms manifest in ecstatic love, are as follows. Vyabhichari literally means flickering. They're not stable. They're not like constantly present. They just come and go and come and go and come, and then they're replaced, and then that one is replaced. So we'll just read these, 33. 1. Nirveda, indifference. 2. Vishada, moroseness. 3. Dainya, meekness. 4. Glani, a feeling that one is in a faulty position. 5. Shrama, fatigue. 6. Mada, madness. 7. Garva, pride. 8. Shanka, doubt. 9. Trasa, shock. 10. Avega, intense emotion. 11. Unmada. There's mada is madness. Then there's unmada, craziness. That's special madness. Apasmara, forgetfulness. 13. Vyadi, disease. 14. Moha, bewilderment. 15. Mriti, death. 16. Alasya, laziness. 17. Jadya, invalidity. 18. Vrida, shame. 19. Avahita, concealment. 20. Smriti, remembrance. 21. Vitarka, argument. 22. Chinta, contemplation. 23. Mati, attention. 24. Dhriti, forbearance. 25. Harsha, jubilation. 26. Autsukya, eagerness. 27. Ogriya, violence. 28. Amarsha, anger. 29. Asuya, jealousy. 30. Chapalya, impudence. 31, nidra, sleep. 32, supti, deep sleep. And 33, prabodha, awakening. So how do these appear in the pastime, in Srimati Radharani, and in Krishna, for that matter, in the course of their transcendental pastimes? How do all these things work, and what effects do they have, and so on like that? Well, devotees, tune in next Sunday morning to find out. And for the time being, well, just wait in anticipation. So we'll continue next Sunday with verse 168. I don't know if someone can remember that. 168. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Shri La Prabhupada ki.